Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read a few verses here, beginning with verse 22. Actually, this is my favorite resurrection text, and there are many, many, many places in the scripture that refer to the resurrection. This one is my favorite. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." Isn't that a wonderful verse? It wasn't possible for him. It was impossible for him to stay in the grave. Praise God. Verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses." Praise God for his word today. Amen. Now, all around the world today, there is a celebration going on. Actually, it's estimated that about a third, close to a third of the population of the world believes in Jesus and professes to be Christians. If that number is accurate, that means more than 2 billion people are joining with all of us today celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. Praise God for that. So there's just a wonderful time of glorifying our risen Savior today, and we're joining in with everybody else all around the world. Different nations, different time zones, and people are glorifying the resurrected Savior. You know, the fact that we're gathered here today in a church, and the fact that there is a church, is evidence of the reality of the resurrection. The church would never have been able to be started. It would never would even got off the ground, because it was started in the city of Jerusalem, the very place where Jesus was crucified and put in the tomb. There's no way that the church of Jesus Christ could have ever got started, let alone just explode in growth in the city of Jerusalem. It could have never have happened if Jesus was still in the tomb. But because he came out of the tomb and he is alive today, the church is still alive. Amen. Here locally and everywhere around the world where people are willing to put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only the fact that there is such a thing as a church, but also the fact that we are meeting on Sunday. That's significant. All of the early, those first century Christians were Jews who had worshipped on the Sabbath, on Saturday. And they were very devout, and Saturday, Sabbath was sacred to them. There had to be something really mighty and powerful happen for them to say, no, we're going to start worshiping on Sunday. We know that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was so mighty and so powerful that they gathered on the first day of the week to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we are gathered here today in good company with people around the world who are worshiping on Sunday, the Lord's Day. And when you become a Christian and we follow the pattern of water baptism, we know that every time that someone is baptized in water, it's just a reminder that they have died out to their old life. And when they come up out of the water, it's the testimony that they have been resurrected in Jesus Christ. Amen. So all of these things that are a part of our, I guess we could say, tradition, are all things that are confirming the reality of the fact that Jesus Christ came out of the tomb. Praise God. And not only that, but the fact that all around us, our lives have been so changed. That is the greatest evidence that Jesus is alive, is that he has made me alive. And he's made you alive. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you have been transformed by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the text that we read to you from Acts chapter 2, this is the first sermon of the New Testament church. It's Peter's first sermon. I think he did pretty good for his first sermon. I remember my first sermon. I studied it for weeks, and it lasted about 6 minutes. And I stretched it out as long as I could, and it was pretty pitiful. This is the first New Testament church sermon. It's Peter's first sermon, and 3,000 souls responded and were changed. Something dramatic had happened in the life of Peter, because we know that Peter made more blunders, more mistakes, more failures than just about any other of the disciples. He failed. As a matter of fact, someone said that Peter had 13 areas of failure in his life. And the last one that he made was when he denied the Lord and even cursed and said, I don't know him. I'm not part of this company, of this group. I don't know him. He denied the Lord and cursed and made an oath. And so it was then, Brother Merle, that the cock crowed twice, and he denied the Lord, and then he went out, the Bible says, and he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. So from all accounts, we could say of Peter, he was a big failure. He made so many mistakes and made so many failures, and that you would wonder, why would he be the chosen one to stand up and to be the spokesman on the day of Pentecost? I'll tell you why. It was because that it is a reminder to all of us that God can take all of your mess and all of your mistakes and all of your failures, and he can transform your life and turn you into a man of God, a woman of God, mightily used of the Lord. And so God used this big failure, Peter, and turned him into a mighty preacher of the gospel. Praise God for that. The fact that he was forgiven, the Lord, even though he was a denier, he was forgiven of that failure and that sin. He was allowed to be an eyewitness of Jesus Christ resurrected. And not only that, but he was filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. And then the Lord empowered him by the Spirit of God to preach the message that he preached on the day of Pentecost. And it had the impact it had because of the power of the Spirit of God that was resting upon his life. So you should be encouraged. We all should be encouraged today. A lot of folks feel like, well, I'm I'm worthless, and I've made too many mistakes, and God could never use me. He could never do anything with my life. A lot of people have come to the conclusion that they've just messed up too many times, and there's no hope for them, and certainly no way that God could ever use them. That is not the truth. And the resurrection and this account here in Acts chapter 2 is proof to us that Jesus can take those that have ruined and wrecked their lives and have failed the Lord a time and time and time again and still can use them mightily. Yes. Praise God. Aren't you grateful for that? Amen. Amen. That he can use your life. And a changed life is the greatest evidence of the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. That same power of the spirit that brought him out of the grave will quicken you and change you and transform you. That is a wonderful, wonderful miracle and a wonderful reminder of the resurrection. So then what did Peter preach that day? Well, he preached the gospel. He preached the gospel under the inspiration and the anointing of the Spirit of God. It wasn't just Peter, but God anointed Peter to preach the message that he preached that day on the day of Pentecost. He had a newfound authority and an ability and a power that came from God. If you remember, Peter was the one that would make not only blunders, but he spoke out of turn and said things that shouldn't have been said. But now he's a new Peter. He's transformed, and he speaks with power and with authority. You men of Israel, hear these words. And then the first thing that he preaches is the life of Jesus in that verse 22. He preaches about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mighty power of his earthly life. You know, his life was a miraculous life. He was born of a virgin all throughout his life in his childhood. Even the fact that he was subject to his parents throughout those years. I mean, he's the Son of God, born of a virgin, but he understood his time, he understood his purpose, and his life was miraculous. His life was a sinless life. He was perfect and without sin. And that is a miracle. No one in their human flesh can be sinless. But Jesus was sinless. His life was sacrificial. He understood that he had come into this world to lay down his life. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the whole world. It was a sacrificial life. It was a life of many, many miraculous things that Jesus did. Even when he started his ministry, his very first miracle was at a wedding, and he turned water into wine. And that was just the beginning of miracles. There was great power. And Peter said to them, he was approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. And we still serve that same God who works in miracles and wonders and signs. He has power over disease. He has power over devils. He has power even over death. His life is a miraculous life. And that's the first point in Peter's message in verse 22. And then in verse 23, his message was about his death. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. You see, even in death, Jesus demonstrated his power. Even in his death. Now I understand that the Jews were guilty. Judas was guilty. Pilate was guilty. The Romans were guilty. And that's what he's talking about when he says they were taken by wicked hands and crucified him and slew him. And so there was human responsibility involved here. I understand that. But we also have to look at the overarching reality of his death. And the fact is that it was determined by God. This was a part of the plan of God, the determinant and counsel and foreknowledge of God. And so even his death was demonstrating the power of God, and that he laid down his life. It was not that they took his life, but he laid down his life. John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Then in verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. That was the miraculous death of Jesus, in that it was the fulfillment of the plan of the ages. Amen. And then in Revelation, all that dwell in the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And so his death was miraculous in the sense that he was slain from the foundation of the world. It was the plan of God, even before the world was created, that Jesus would come and live and die. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No wonder Peter's message was such a powerful Pentecostal gospel message that it affected the hearts of all of those listeners that day. Then he spends the next 9 verses dealing with the wonderful topic of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our gospel and our worship and everything that we do, our evangelism, everything, it all is centered upon the importance and this central theme of the resurrection. There are 19 sermons in the book of Acts. All of them, the central theme of every message preached in the book of Acts was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. They knew the power of it. They understood that Jesus came out of the tomb. Many of them, hundreds of them, were eyewitnesses to the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because he came out of the grave, you and I can be forgiven of our sins. Praise God. Amen. You're guilty. I'm guilty. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve the wrath of God. But the Bible says that God raised him up. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. He went to the grave. He went to the tomb, and it was impossible for him to stay there, because the plan of the ages was for him to come out of the tomb and provide forgiveness for every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen. It is a wonderful thing to be born again. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. And it could not have happened if it had not been for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. That if thou will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There it is. That's the biblical formula for a person to come to the Lord and to get saved. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus came out of the tomb, and you will be saved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the simplicity of the gospel. Amen. And that's the message that Peter preached that day that caused great conviction to fall upon that crowd and 3,000 souls to be saved. Amen. The miracle of this wonderful resurrection message is the fact that not only are we saved, not only are we forgiven, but we have hope. We have hope. Amen. I've had been to a lot of funerals in recent weeks, and I know the heaviness and the burden of a funeral, the loss of a loved one, is overwhelming sometimes. When you lose your friends, your family members, it is overwhelming. But I have to tell you, the many, many times that I've stood in a funeral service, and when I knew that that person had given their heart to the Lord, even though there's grief, there was such a joy. Last year in June, when my mother passed away, obviously, we were grieved and sad that she was gone. But I was so thankful that I knew exactly where she was at. Amen. I know where she is, and I have a hope that one day soon, and that we are all going to join her. If you are born again, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have hope. We have hope. It's beyond this world. And you're going to see your loved ones, and we're going to be with the Lord one day really soon. Praise God for that. The resurrection provides hope for our future, hope for eternal life. You don't have any hope of eternal life. I've also stood behind pulpits to preach funerals for people that they had no testimony that they knew God or served the Lord. No one could give me even a word of hope that they had served the Lord. You talk about a heaviness. You talk about a difficult time trying to comfort families when you just don't have any certainty of where they are. But praise God, we have a hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. And eternal life is ours. Why? Because Jesus conquered death. He came out of the tomb, and he provided hope for us and eternal life for every one of us who trust in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. He's alive, which means you and I will live on. Amen. We're going to live on beyond the grave. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning on the radio, I listened to Brother Huff's message. And at the close of the message, if you didn't listen to it, Brother Huff was quite the singer. And he sings on that message. And I'm telling you, when he sang that, I just thought, I know he's in heaven. I know he's in the presence of the Lord. But oh, how wonderful it was to hear him singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Praise God. Hallelujah. We do have our friends and our loved ones that are already gone on, but we have hope today, folks. We have confidence today in Jesus through the power of the resurrection. And that's what this day is all about. And really, it's just a reminder to us that every Sunday we come and celebrate a risen Savior. Amen. And we enjoy the blessing of the Lord through the ministry of the church because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So today, this message of Peter is just as real and just as impactful as it was 2,000 years ago. He preached the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. And that is our theme. That's our message. That's what we declare to you today. And you can be saved. You can be born again when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this day, the blessing of this resurrection season, Lord, all that it means to us. We're grateful, Lord. Oh, how blessed we are to know you, Lord, as our Savior. And I just pray today for those in this congregation today that they're not sure of where they stand with you, Lord. They're not sure of their salvation. I pray, Lord, that their hearts would be open to you and that they would call upon you, Lord, today Thank you for your life, for your death, and Lord, for your resurrection from the dead that has provided hope and eternal life for everyone that will believe upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Could we stand together all over this building today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to God. Oh, Lord, we have hope, and that hope is in you. It's not in anything that this world has to offer. It's not in anything, Lord, that this world can do for us. But, Lord, our confidence is in you today. Praise the Lord. I just want to take a moment right now and just ask you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. And we only do that because we want you to kind of be focused and not distracted by anyone or anything around you. Because this is between you and the Lord. But you, I already described to you how simple it is. You just put your faith in Jesus. You call upon the Lord today. You confess your sins and your need for a Savior. And because He came out of the grave, you can have eternal life. Praise God. I know it sounds simple, and it is. But today, if you are not a Christian, if you're not sure of where you stand with the Lord, you can call upon the Lord today. And we're going to pray right now. And I just ask you to pray with me. Amen. Everybody in this building, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this season. We thank you, Lord, for all of these that have gathered into this service today. And Lord, I know they're here because they understand the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know that all around the world, people are celebrating your life and our life in Jesus Christ. So Lord, today, I just pray for every person here today that if they don't know you, if they're not a Christian, that this would be the day and it would be marked in their memory, March the 31st, 2024. That was the day that I asked the Lord into my heart. That was the day that He changed my life. Just like He changed Peter and transformed him from the failure he was into the mighty man of God that he became. Hallelujah. Oh, we do thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done in our lives. Hallelujah. Could we just take a moment just to give thanks and praise to the Lord here this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of